Turn your Bibles to John 15. We're going to look at the first 11 verses. Our gospel for the sixth Sunday of Eastertide brings us to the seventh and the last I am statement. This is the seventh statement that we're going to ponder this morning, identifying the true nature of Jesus with this familiar statement, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. In this analogy of a vineyard, he also includes the activity of the Father, the vine dresser, the one who tends to the health of the branches in the vines. And he then goes on to say that we, his followers, his church, we are his branches. We're that cluster of grapes, his church, his followers, in this beautiful vineyard of the Lord. The previous chapter, chapter 14, introduced the Holy Spirit as our constant companion to guide us as we adhere to the Holy Trinity, as we adhere to God, the Holy Trinity. Jesus is teaching us how to speak about God. We understand this to be the divinity or the divine life shared among three co-equal and co-substantial persons. When he speaks about God, he's not only referring to the Father. God is one substance, one divinity in three persons. It's good to remember that as we work through this passage. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. One God in three persons. But there's one divinity in these three persons, never separated from each other. Therefore, God is a communion of love within the Holy Trinity. God is a communion of love. I hope that's the way that we can think about God as we come to him in prayer. We're coming to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in this communion of love, who has never been alone, who has never been lonely. He didn't create us because he was lonely. God was never lonely, because God cannot be love unless he is a communion of love in three persons. You can't just love yourself. God is not some impersonal monad, but God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And this is why Jesus proclaims that God is love. He's not saying that God loves. That's an outcome of who he already is. In the communion of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God is love in the Holy Trinity. Jesus did use theos, that Greek word for God, in reference to his Father, but it's not common. It's not common at all. He came to reveal God, theos, as the Father. Not as an impersonal deity, but the personalized source. Think about that. God the Father is the personalized source of the great river of divine life. Let that hang there just a minute. God the Father is the personalized source, like the head of this mighty river. The head of this mighty river, the source of the great river of divine life, proceeding from the Father. Okay? Thus, in the analogy of the vineyard, Jesus is the true vine. The Father is the vine dresser, and God the Holy Spirit, we could put in parentheses, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of Christ, that's how the New Testament describes the Holy Spirit, is now among us and within us. And thus we get to this analogy of abiding in Christ and Christ abiding in us. This indwelling of the Holy Spirit makes our union with Jesus, our union with Christ, a living reality, not a concept, not a theological proposition, We're in union with Christ. But ontologically, something has happened to us in our baptism where we come into union with Christ, literally, and participate in his death and resurrection. When we come up out of the waters of baptism, we are born anew. We have received the gift of the Father, the Holy Spirit. That's an ontological change within us. We become temples, living temples of the living God. And so God has come to dwell in us. That's what this is all about today. And so the vineyard is a beautiful analogy of our union with Christ. Our family lived for 5 years in the Napa Valley. We lived on Tokay Drive, which is a type of a grape. And one block away, we used to take walks in this vineyard that had trails all the way through it. It was open, and it was such a beautiful place to experience through all of the seasons of vineyard life, right? All of the seasons of a vineyard, from the severe pruning season, where it looked like nothing was left. It looks so bare and so barren. How can life come from this pruning? And then we would look at the lush season hanging fruit before the harvest. It would grow and come to life, and there would be these just massive clusters of grapes right before the harvest. And then after the harvest, all throughout the valley, you would smell this aroma called the crushing of all the grapes in all the vineyards just let off this beautiful aroma of grapes, just letting it out. Here it is. And this is the analogy that Jesus is playing with this morning in this passage, right? Just millions of grapes being crushed in order to make this exquisite wine. The process of planting, tending, pruning, and harvesting is a beautiful picture of our lives clinging to Christ. That's another way of looking at abiding or remaining in Christ. I'm going to use the word clinging to Christ, the vine. And so Jesus is the true vine, a metaphor of Israel, really, being brought out of Egypt and planted in the promised land. Right? It's God's vineyard being raised up in the promised land. Jesus is the true vine. Now, Christ has come to fulfill the story of past failure of this vine, the past failure to adhere to God's commands of faithfulness. They were called to be faithful, and they were never able to fully pull that off in their history. But as we look at the teachings of Paul, we realize that there was one to come to be anticipated to fulfill that failure, to fulfill all righteousness. The true vine, Jesus Christ, has come now. In our place, Christ comes to be the true vine who offers his faithful life so that we may trust him as we cling to him. This is our salvation. This is our healing, that communion has been restored, which was lost in the garden. That's what salvation is. It's restored communion, restored union, so that we may abide in him and he may abide in us. Now, as we get into this passage, verses 1 and 2, it speaks of those who cling to Christ and those who do not, okay? And it may sound a little harsh to our ears if we don't fully read this right. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit, he's saying. We may be a little apprehensive. Am I one of those? And the Lord has no intention to even infer that to us this morning. For those who have been saved through grace and faith, this is one way I think that we can read this morning. Let's read verses 5 through 6. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides, whoever remains in me, whoever clings to me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. That's very key right there. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, if anyone does not cling to me, if anyone does not adhere, it leads to a withering away and a death in the life of that person, right? That person is already withered in the analogy of the vine. And then he is thrown away like a branch that withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. And so I would read this as he is thrown away like a branch that's already withered. You're coming, you're the vine dresser, and you're seeing all of these dead clusters on the vine. And in order to secure the health of that particular vineyard, it could be a form of pruning. It's a cutting away of that which is already dead. That which is already dead because this person has failed to draw their life from Jesus. There's no personal relationship that's active, that's real time. I think this is meaning that the vine dresser isn't arbitrarily cutting people away from Christ, the vine, but rather by their own lack of clinging, living by faith in the daily grace given, withers and dies. The vine dresser, in this case, removes the dead branches in order to assure the health of the cluster of grapes adhering to the vine. And this is the Father's doing. For me, this reading calls me to see the Father as a caring, not punishing. He's not punishing those who might be struggling to adhere to Christ. In this reading, those who are being removed and thrown into the fire are already void of life, living, as it were, independent from Christ. Apart from me, you can do nothing, right? There it is. There's the relationship of clinging and not living independently from Christ. Again, Jesus stresses the critical nature of clinging to him, connected in real time relationship with him, as he says in verse 6, apart from me, you can do nothing. So how shall we abide? Independently in our alienation from the cluster of grapes, sort of hanging out, just doing Christianity on our own terms, not seeing the value of Holy Eucharist and communion and the community of faith, the revelation of the necessity of communion, the necessity of our connection one to another. The picture is not merely communion with God through abiding with Christ. No, it's about the vineyard, the true vine and the branches. And so this is not just referring to, unless you abide in me and I abide in you, you will have no life in you. But it's inclusive of communal participation, I believe. It's the cluster of grapes that Jesus is trying to get us to see. And he, as the source, that vine that we're connected to, and the Father being the vine dresser. So why do some people choose autonomy? That's a great question. Perhaps they fail to understand the purpose of pruning. This is one potential reason. The vine dresser is after more fruit in our lives, a healthier vineyard. And it requires the Father's pruning, the cutting away of that good enough fruit, that sort of comfort zone fruit, in order to produce healthier fruit. In his beautiful way of cutting things out of our lives and pruning in our circumstances, a more robust fruit. If we see the vine dresser as one who arbitrarily, without purpose, messes with our lives, we become offended at the vine dresser, I believe. We don't know how to interpret how the Father is mingled within the circumstances of our lives. And we are his children, and there's disciplinary pruning procedures because he loves us and he wants better fruit out of our lives. He wants us to look like his son. And so the fruit of the Spirit is one of the aims that we can meditate on as we seek to abide in Christ, right? Which the first fruit is love. This is why Jesus gives the many warnings of staying faithful through hard times. The hard times of life involving disappointment, suffering, persecution, and other unwanted circumstances. Are you living in some unwanted circumstances? In this world you will have tribulation, Jesus says, but rejoice that I have overcome the world. And that is the context that he's pruning away and speaking to us and giving us grace upon grace in that context. And the wise thing to do is cling to Jesus when you don't feel like it. Cling to Jesus when you feel like this is punitive. It's not. It's not. It's pruning for more fruit. The aim in all this is verse 11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Christ is calling us to cling to him in personal relations, to live connected to him. And the cluster of grapes on the vine, the branches, all of us here this morning, we are that cluster. And our communion involves knowing Jesus and knowing one another, being connected in union to Jesus and being connected to one another. This communion is a participation in that communion of love between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Abide in my love, he goes on to say. If anyone keeps my commandments, you will abide in my love. Abiding in the vine is abiding in his love. There's no difference because God is love. And so amid all the important applications here, let's stress the importance of one thing, our share in Holy Communion. We could say that Jesus is inferring that I am the wine, and you are the chalices. I am the wine. Christ the wine fills us with the properties and the salvation issuing forth from his blood on the cross. In the liturgy we're going to celebrate this morning, it says, we celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, and we offer you these gifts of bread and wine. Sanctify them by your word and Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Get this, and sanctify us also, that we may worthily receive this holy sacrament and be made one body with him. That's what's occurring as we drink from the one chalice and eat from the one loaf. That in this mystical, beautiful way, God is making us the body of Christ as we partake of the holy sacrament, that he may dwell or abide in us and we in him. Okay, you're going to hear that again this morning. You'll hear that every Sunday morning. And it's really recalling the reality of the vineyard, you see. It's recalling John 15, that we may abide in him and he in us, that we may remain in him and he in us, that we may cling to him and he to us. This is the ultimate way. There are many ways to abide in Christ, but this is the climax of abiding. He's called us to abide in the community with one another. He's called us to abide in his love. He's called us to abide in his scriptures. And ultimately, the scripture calls us, as Paul says, when you gather, is it not to receive the Lord's Supper, right? That's the ultimate way that we partake of Christ himself. And we're partaking of Christ together as a community, as a cluster of grapes. And he's co-inhering with us, and we're co-inhering with him. This is the indwelling. This is the way that the Lord continues to bring forgiveness of sin and cleanses us as we partake of the Holy Communion. This is my blood, the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. That's what we celebrate when we come together. This is my body given for you. This is my blood of the new covenant, the new deal, where Jeremiah says, I will remember your sins no more. Isn't that great? We need to be like God and remember the sins of others who have offended us in the same fashion. We throw them into that sea of grace and forgetfulness where it no longer poses a barrier between the other person. I will remember your sins no more. That's the promise of the new covenant. That's the promise of the chalice. Let the Lord of grace come and just burn that into us this morning. May our hearts burn as we take the Eucharist this morning. May our hearts burn as we re-engage with him at the altar rail this morning. He's come to cleanse and forgive and heal and restore and save us. And we enact that through Holy Communion. Amen? Amen. Let us abide in Christ as Christ abides in us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.